Our second lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 1, and then skipping down to 7, and finishing with 14. Let us listen for the word of the Lord together. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When Jesus noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Ahem, give this person your place," and then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place first, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Ah, friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus said also to the one who had invited him, the host, mind you, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the 14th chapter of Luke, there are four events that take place at a dinner party hosted by the Pharisees. First, Jesus heals a man with dropsy. Then Jesus' counsel about where to sit when finding a place at the table. Third, Jesus' instructions about what guests to invite to a dinner. And last, he tells a parable about a great banquet. Today, we focus on the middle two parts of this chapter, the counsel about where to sit at a dinner, the counsel about who to invite to a dinner. The Pharisees have invited Jesus in order to watch him closely, says the first verse. This is a setup, of course, a chance for the whole group of the whole religious establishment to witness Jesus blaspheming and breaking laws. You see, they are building a case against Jesus, plotting to disgrace him. Jesus watches the guests as they take their places at the table. Please picture this ancient dinner party, elegant and full of Roman influence. These special couches lined up head to head and toe to toe in long rows with low tables between. There is a head table where we can assume the most prestigious guests of the highest class were seated with the host, and then a series of other tables to accommodate the rest of the guests in descending order of favor based on their positions of power or lack thereof. Jesus watches people sorting themselves out and taking their place, observing them as closely as he is being observed. Jesus watches the guests, watches as a silent understanding passes from eye to eye, as the guests look at one another, trying to recognize the clothes of rank, quietly determining one's own place in the power structure. Please realize, too, that the quality of food was different from table to table, with the most sumptuous dishes, the most expensive and lavish things, served only to the top two or three guests, and the most humble and really the lowest quality food placed before the guests at the bottom table. And so Jesus starts talking about the wisest ways to find the right place to sit at such a dinner. Feasts are meant to be celebrations of unity, of love, a time of people getting together and doing something rather intimate, right? Breaking bread, sharing food. Jesus says the unforgivable thing as he looks at this. He who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. With this, Jesus has become quite rude to his hosts. Don't think for a minute that his meaning was lost on them, though. Then Jesus goes on to say to the main host, when you give a dinner or a lunch, do not invite people of your own station, your own class, your own family even, because then they will feel obligated to invite you back, and you will have dinners and parties back and forth and back and forth, tit for tat, everything equal, even Stephen. And how does that further anything in this world? Instead, invite all the people who can never repay you. Give them the best food. Invite the sick, the crippled, the poor people, all whom this society has made outcast and unclean. Invite the people you work so hard to avoid because they are ritually impure. Why don't you touch them anyway and give them the best that you've got to give them? In that way, you will be blessed. The shock, the horror, the hideousness of this, the revolutionary, radical craziness of this. Why in the world would Jesus say this? I tell you the truth. These are the words that got that man crucified, telling people to throw out this very specific social structure, these very clear manners that people had been adhering to for an awfully long time in order to build up their own political power and wealth. And Jesus says, it matters not. It is nothing. What matters is embracing the outcast. Then you are blessed. Who would dare to throw out everything just for blessing? You see, it is not just that the proud will be brought low. Everybody knew that from the story of Job. Jesus is not talking about the rags-to-riches story of Joseph either, the one who was humble but became exalted. Jesus is talking about a complete reversal of fortune in which those who glorify themselves will be humbled, and those who are humble and forcibly oppressed will be glorified. When the North Pole becomes the South Pole and the South Pole becomes the North Pole, the world as we know it will be overturned and the kingdom will have come. What has begun as a little talk about etiquette at a dinner party to a hostile audience has become a prediction of radical change in the world, a teaching that it is these people right now present that are charged to make it happen. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous, he says at the end. You will do it because it tips the balance forward into a day of goodness. Is that not what we long for? We still are called to practice this. Though the circumstances of our dinner parties, our social lives, our political lives may be very different from Jesus' day, human nature remains the same. We long to fit in. We long to be in groups of like-minded people. When we are Christians, the like-minded people expands enormously into all manner of folks we would never dream of inviting home, but we do in a heartbeat because they are united to us in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, in this world where we are invited into places and we habitually take the humblest seat, we are wondering where your hand is. Lord, reveal to us among our closest friends in Christ and in this church the beauty and the power and truly the joy and the peace that comes of a place at the table where we are equal, where there is no high and low, but a circle where we are one in you. Lord, help us to preserve this circle and to constantly understand it as ever open and beckoning more in. Lord, we thank you and lift our hearts in wonder at the future that is coming in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.